Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Our faves. Hello, everyone.
Hi, friends.
Welcome to another quarantine-isode of I'm Horrified.
I'm Horrified. We're back. We're here. We're still doing quarantine-isodes.
We sure are.
We're getting ready to do our 100th episode, though.
Yeah.
It's going to happen.
We'll make an announcement about that soon. We'll get our shit together on that very soon.
Because we were going to do this until quarantine ended, but like, that's no longer a concept. I think this is just how we live now. So we're just going to have to figure it out. But we had a couple more fun ideas. So we had to do a couple more fun ideas. And this week, we're going to be talking about the ultimate literary protagonist.
Our faves.
Our faves. So I didn't really know if we were doing like the best one or our favorite one, but I think we both kind of could argue that these ones are the best.
Yeah, either both, all of the above.
Either both, all. Great literary protagonists.
Absolutely.
And not great female literary protagonists, but we did both happen to pick women.
Only women matter.
That's true.
I put believe that on my hat, and I'll buy it.
Not all men matter.
That's true.
Not any men. No
one
men.
A friend of mine listens to this podcast consistently, and one time he told me, he was like, the other day on your podcast, you said that no men are funny. And that hurt a little bit. And I was like,
hey, I would like for him, if he's listening, I wanna talk to him. what's his name? Make up a fake name. Make up a fake name so I can use it.
Gerald.
You are not funny. And I know that you thought that I was going to be like, Gerald, I'm so sorry. No, Gerald, every person who's laughed at you, that's just a product of patriarchy. No, I'm totally kidding. You're fine, Gerald. I'm so sorry.
Gerald,
you're either funny or you're not. But you're probably not, just statistically.
Yeah. I'm speaking on like a truths of the universe level. You know what I mean? There are exceptions that prove every rule.
Exactly. I'll say in the same way that this, what men say is most women aren't funny.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to say most men aren't funny.
There we go. Potato.
That's just the way it is. And there's like three exceptions for me.
Yeah. John Mulaney.
Two of them are John Mulaney.
I would be so sad if some kind of scandal comes out against John Mulaney. If John Mulaney ends up being problematic.
That'll be really hard for me.
Yeah, I'll leave him behind. You know what I mean?
No, but of course. But that'll be a difficult day.
It'll be a lot of quotes that I won't be able to quote anymore.
But let's talk about these two unproblematic literary protagonists. Except yours is pretty problematic.
Mine's incredibly problematic.
Yours is extremely problematic. Mine?
Yours isn't.
Unproblematic icon. I'm going to be talking about Eowyn from Lord of the Rings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think there's anything else that can come out about her. she's icon, legend, star, queen. Absolutely. We love her. For those of you who are not familiar with the Lord of the Rings, I'll give you a quick recap.
Really?
No, I will not be recapping the Lord of the Rings in any shape or fashion. You have the internet for that. Also, it's a great series, and it's a fantastic movie series as well. So you have two options. But I read the books when I was probably like a teenager. I was probably like 13 or 14. I read the books. And I loved the movies. I fucking loved the movies. I was obsessed with them. I had all of the extended editions. It's great. And the books have extended editions too, because Tolkien like wrote like a bunch of little books, or like, you know, like a million like after, I don't know what they're called, but like things about the world that happened after or before into the end of the book. And there's a story about Eowyn and Faramir in there. That is just delightful. It's very similar to the story in Pottermore about Remus Lupin and Tonks.
Ooh.
Which is very sweet. Even though J.K. Rowling's a transphobic piece of shit, so yeah. Now it's hard to engage with her content. But we're not talking about that. We're talking about Eowyn today. Well, Tolkien's probably problematic too. But Eowyn is not. Eowyn has never done anything to anyone. Let me tell you about my girl Eowyn. Eowyn is a shield maiden of Rohan. And she's kind of like the only one who calls herself that. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, I am not a woman. I'm a shield maiden of Rohan because I'm a noble woman of Rohan. And they're like, yeah, I guess. Like,
that's not a title, but okay.
They're like, yeah, sure. And her whole job is to take care of her ailing uncle, who is really ailing and is like totally sick and feeble and out of his mind because he's being poisoned by a guy who keeps creeping on her. And there's a couple things about that. One, she's expressed to her brother a little bit that, like, this isn't all that fun for me, and I'd love to be off killing people with you. Like, I would love to be, not killing people, but, like, you know, promoting justice.
Yeah.
As a shield maiden of Rohan. And he's like, what if you were a shield maiden of Rohan by taking care of this old man? And she's like, I don't love that, but I will do it. Okay. Because I'm not mean.
Yeah.
But I'm going to do it. And then Aragorn comes on the scene. And now here's the thing about Aragorn and Eowyn. Eowyn loves Aragorn. It is not some like Eponine shit though. Mm-hmm. It's very much like Eowyn, I think, is like more horny for a leader.
Ooh, I like that.
Do you know what I'm saying? Like, she's horny for him, yeah. Who isn't?
Yeah.
And then it's sad. Like, everyone's like all sad because it's like, oh, well, he loves Arwen, so he's not going to be with Eowyn. But honestly, I don't think she ever really cared about him. I think she was just like, he was this, like, he was like the definition of like adventure and going out into the world.
Yes.
And like being out on the open roads. And so I think that's really what she was attracted to more so than him as a person, which makes it better in the end when he's with Arwen, because he was always meant to be with Arwen.
Yeah.
And Arwen's kind of a nothing person. So that's unfortunately just the way it is. She's kind of a doormat. But Eowyn throughout the book is like not all that graceful, not all that like sweet and elegant like all the other women in Tolkien's books, but she's very much like tomboyish. Somebody said that in one of the articles I was reading, like, she's like the tomboy of the Tolkien universe, and I was like, yeah, I absolutely believe that. Mm-hmm. And she's very much like annoyed, which I find a really endearing quality.
Yeah.
And she has this conversation with Aragorn where she's talking about, like, he's saying, like, it's really noble for you to be, like, in the Two Towers, he goes to, like, they all go to fight, like, Rohan goes to fight with, what's their faces?
Gondor?
No.
The orcs?
That's, the beacons are lit, though, and that's when, yes, that's part of it. But
I gotta be upfront with you, I have not read the books or seen the movies.
But I haven't read them in a very, very long time, so I'm forgetting most of the Two Towers, but that's not important. So there's a big battle, and she stays to take care of anyone, and she's, like, in charge in her uncle's stead. And he's basically like, you know, that's like a really noble thing to do. And she's like, yeah, but like, I don't really want to do that. Like, I want to be out fighting with you guys. And he's like, well, you know, it's almost more noble to do things that are noble without valor. And she was like, I don't want to do it because of valor. Mm-hmm. I want to do it because that's what I'm good at. And it's like this badass feminist moment. She's like, I'm not looking to be. And also, and it's kind of like when people are like, well, Hillary Clinton only wants to be president because she wants to be in power. And it's like every man who wants to be president wants power. Of course they want power if you're running for president. And it's like, she's like, yeah, maybe I do want some valor. If I wanted some valor, would it be that big of a fucking deal? Like, it, just because I'm a woman, I can't have any valor. You get all of the valor.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
It,
it's a great conversation.
It reminds me of in Anchorman, The Legend of Ron Burgundy.
Yes.
When Veronica Corningstone says, I'm good at three things. Screwing, fighting, and reading the news. I've already done one of those things today.
So what's the other one going to be, huh?
It's this, like, Eowyn's like, I'm good at three things.
Yeah.
Nobly caring for my older male relatives. Fighting.
Oh, and speaking of her caring for her older male relatives. So during this whole thing, she, like, the guy who's poisoning her uncle, she doesn't know that he's poisoning her uncle, but she does know that he's, like, hardcore creeping on her, and he's hoping to, like, marry her so he can be, like, a noble person. Mm-hmm. And he's, like, pure, like, creep energy, just, like, high-key creep energy. Mm-hmm. And the great thing about it is, it's not like she's, like, oh, no, this scary man. Anytime he's around, she's, like, I see what you're doing, and I don't care for that shit at all. Like, I am not dealing with you today. Like, she's just like, you know what would be great if you fucking left me alone? Like, I just love the way she deals with him. Like, every time he's around, she's just like, I don't like you, and I'm never gonna marry you. And it's some big Jasmine energy. Like, I am not a prize to be won, A. Yeah. So jot that down. But, okay, so then the last thing is, so then she goes through, like, just kind of being, like, well, I don't love it, but I want to get out there. I want to adventure the Great Ride somewhere. Mm-hmm. I want to die in battle. She also says to Aragorn during their conversation, here's a great quote. This is a great quote. She's basically saying to her, like, well, it's honorable to do, like, the staying with the women and children stuff. And she says, all your words are but to say, you are a woman, your part is in the house, but when the men have died in battle and honor, you have to leave and be burned in the house, for the men will need it no more. I am the House of Earl, I am not a serving woman. I can ride and wield blade, and I do not fear either pain nor death.
Fuck yeah.
Love that. And then she proves it. To prove it. And so at the end of the series, in Return of the King, there's the big fight with, like, all the orcs and the Nazgul. The Nazgul, for those of you who are not familiar, there's probably a lot of words that I'm saying if you haven't read or seen The Lord of the Rings that sound very silly. The Nazgul are, like, the kings of darkness. And the lord of the Nazgul is, like, this super-duper scary guy. He's, like, Voldemort times, like, 100. Mm-hmm. He's so scary. He's, like, Sauron's, like, second guy. Mm-hmm. And everybody hates him, and he stabs a bunch of people, and even, like, Gandalf's afraid of him. Gandalf for the Harry Potter, but not Lord of the Rings people, is, like, the Dumbledore equivalent. So, like, if your wise elder person is kind of afraid,
we should be
everyone's
afraid.
Really afraid.
Yes.
So you're very afraid of him, and he's, like, trying to kill people, and then I think her uncle, or maybe it's Merry, one of the hobbits, she and Merry, one of the hobbits, are, like, we want to be victorious in battle together. So they both sneak in together, like, they help each other sneak into the battle.
That's dressed fun.
So she's dressed as a man, he's just a hobbit. He's just like, I'm just also gonna be here. And that's fine. But they're on, like, the same horse, and they're like, we're going. We're just fucking going. And so somebody's in danger, and they're like, I will hinder this, like, you if I can. And he's like, me? No man may hinder me. And then in a Macbeth style twist of, like, no man of woman born may harm Macduff, then Eowyn comes out, rips off the helmet, and she says, no living man am I. You look upon a woman, mic drop.
Yes.
Mic drop.
And then both armies go, whoa!
Whoa! And so in the movie, she just says, I am no man. And that's cool.
That's better.
But she has a whole, speech. When she says, no living man am I. You look upon a woman. And she has, like, a very manly speech that's, like, usually men get to, like, stand up and, like, talk about themselves. She says, Eowyn I am, Eomyn's daughter. You stand between me and my lord and kin. Be gone if you be not deathless. For living or dark undead, I will smite you if you touch him. Mic drop again. second mic drop, and then she does kill him, and then killing him, like, almost kills her, because it's, like, so much killing is happening.
When you kill the Lord of Death.
And then later, she goes to, like, the hospital, or, like, the elf hospital, because the elves are the healers, I guess, and she meets Faramir. Now, Faramir's too much to explain, but he also, no, you know what, I'm going to take the time, because we have to make the time. So, Faramir's Boromir's brother. Mm-hmm. Boromir was like the golden child, and his dad was always like, Boromir is my favorite son, and he dies. Spoilers for Lord of the Rings. he dies, and the dad, Steward of Gondor, is like, I wish you had died. And Faramir's like, that's hurtful. That's not very nice. So he's always got this huge chip on his shoulder. She's got this huge chip on her shoulder. They meet in the hospital, and they fall in love. And he's, like, super nice, and he, like, is really respectful of her, and they have a beautiful relationship. And so that she's the best, and I should preface this, but she's the best protagonist because I think she has the greatest evolutionary arc. Ooh. In The Lord of the Rings. Maybe that's not true. Frodo probably has a better evolutionary arc than her. But I think she's, like, the protagonist of her part of the narrative. Mm-hmm. Like, she's very much a protagonist in her own right. And she is developed as such. And the fact that she was that developed as a woman in a high fantasy novel is awesome. And I love that. And she's a queen. Yeah. Even if she wasn't the queen, which she kind of wanted to be, she was kind of into Aragorn. No big deal. She gets over it. She's with Faramir. Faramir's super hot too. And they both are like betas, so they get it.
I love that.
You know what I mean? So that's my truth. Eowyn is the best. That.
Maybe I'll read Lord of the Rings now. Probably not.
Probably not. You might enjoy it. I would absolutely do a rewatch of all the films with you. That would be fun.
All right. I'll fuck with that.
I'll fuck with that.
Absolutely.
I don't think my now fiance has ever seen them. And that's got to change before we're wed. For sure.
Yeah, for sure. Because I'm assuming your children will be named Eowyn, Faramir.
Yes. Faramir.
Yeah. Mary. All of
them. Mary. Pippin. Yeah. Pippin's a cute name.
Pippin's cute. Eowyn's kind of cute, honestly.
Eowyn is an adorable name.
Yeah.
It's a little bit, like, weird. Like, I don't want her in school for, like, all the teachers to be like, oh, she's got weird, nerdy parents. I just want her to be a person.
That's fair. That's fair.
But you know what? It's a badass namesake.
It really is.
And she's my favorite, and then Galadriel. Of the Tolkien women, it's her, and then Galadriel. And then, like, the extra female elves, and then Arwen, is how dull Arwen is the truth.
My God.
She's a dull character.
I believe
it's not her fault.
No. It's just the way it is. It's
not her fault. Just the way it is. But Sam, I want to talk right now about Ben Affleck.
Okay, I desperately want to, but I'm going to put, we do a lot of, like, sarcastic spoiler warnings on this podcast where we're like, fuck you, spoiler, whatever.
This is a very important spoiler warning because it will ruin a fantastic book for you.
If you have any inkling that you have been meaning to read Gone Girl or see the movie and you've remained unspoiled this far and you're like, I always mean to read it, but I just haven't, da da da. Like, if you want to read it, I am telling you not to listen to me talk about it right now, and go read it and or watch the movie, because the movie's a very good adaptation, but it's a very good adaptation of the book. So, like, I'm being serious. I am going to ruin the book right now.
We're going to ruin it.
Any inkling of maybe wanting to read it, do that right now instead. Come back to this podcast when you finish that book, however long that takes. Okay, let's talk about Amy Elliott Dunn.
Yeah!
So, for those of you who have stayed on with us but don't know Gone Girl, it was a book that I'm reading it from my big monitor, from Gillian Flynn, that was published in 2012. Then it was a movie a few years later with Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. And it basically tells the story of a marriage. And it's, at first you're kind of hearing it from the husband and the wife's perspective, but what you discover is the wife has gone missing, presumed dead. And of course, in situations like that, it is always the husband who did it. So you as the reader are like kind of suspicious of Nick, the husband, of like, it's usually the husband that did it. But in the book, about halfway through, it's revealed that kind of neither of them were being a reliable narrator. So it's revealed that Nick was having an affair. So he was not like the innocent boy next door. He was kind of saying him to be. But more importantly, it's revealed that Amy is alive, has faked an entire diary of experiences that you as the reader have been reading, has faked her own death to the point of like bleeding out on her floor and messily cleaning it up like she perceives a man would, has changed her hair, gained weight, gone on the run because she found out Nick was having an affair and she wants to get him executed for her murder.
Yeah, it's like you're reading a book, like you're reading Pride and Prejudice, and then halfway through it's revealed that Elizabeth Bennet is a full psychopath.
Yeah, yes, literally, like, yes.
It's incredible.
I love her. So something important that I want to say first, she's not good.
She's a bad person. She's absolutely objectively a terrible person.
A bad person. She does a lot of bad things. This book got like blowback from feminist communities, because they were like, Amy Dunn is like everything that like men accuse us of being, like she's manipulative and she, you know, in the context of the book, trigger warning, she like fakes a rape and like all this crazy stuff. So feminists, like some feminist communities were like, this character is no good. Like,
not these feminist communities.
Not, but in this feminist community, I love her in this book, because A, it's such a fucking good twist. Like, you just can't undervalue.
Mwah, chef's kiss. Chef's kiss twist.
That twist. And she writes this whole big thing that I think about a lot, about how she's felt like she had to be this cool girl all her life and like be so casual and like so easy to get along with and so cool, but like it's all bullshit. None of it's real. And then, like, at the end of the book, it's ultimately, like, Nick has to become, like, this perfect husband. Like, she was the cool girl for all those years. And I'm like, yes. Like, just so good. But I think more than that, what I love about Amy as a character is that she is quite literally, like, every man's worst nightmare. And I love it. She is, like, gorgeous, but she's only about herself. She's like a huge narcissist, and all she cares about is like how she's being perceived and that she's getting the things she wants. And she fundamentally doesn't care if those things are real as long as she is getting them. So like I said at the end, Nick is now in this position where he has to pretend to be this perfect husband for her, which she knows is bullshit, but she's like, as long as I'm getting what I want, I don't care. And I think that's so interesting, and I think it's a character that a lot of men have got to be in books of like, not even like the anti-hero, like just a bad person, like just a straight up, like Amy Elliott Dunn is our Tyler Durden from Fight Club. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I feel like, yeah, like Amy Elliott Dunn, like what usually when women are villains, they're villains in a shitty misogynistic way.
Yeah.
But in this one, she's just a fucking fantastic villain.
Yes.
She's like, you know, like in American Psycho, or in, you know, The Shining, or in like some, like all these fabulous movies, you get these fantastic fun roles that men get to step into and play around in, and women get to be like shrewish or naggy.
Yeah.
Or greedy or whatever. Yeah. And it's like, this is like, she's a full fucking psycho, and I love it.
Yeah. And I feel like so many, you hear a lot about like male power fantasy characters. Like when we talk about superheroes, a lot of the time it's like, well, no one would really want to be Batman, but he's like a male power fantasy. Like Amy is a female power fantasy in a lot of ways. No one would really want to do those things. But the idea of being able to like right these misogynistic wrongs that you've been perceiving your whole life and just having to deal with in the most like extreme, dramatic, bold, planned out way is like so viscerally, I think, exciting for women who so often just have to deal with like finding out they're getting cheated on, and they're just like, all right, well, I guess I'll get divorced and that's and that marriage is over. Like, she's like, it's never over. He will never, it will never be over for him. And I think that's so fun. You know what I mean?
It's like, so fun. Yeah, I think that's the perfect way to put it. It's just so fun.
But yeah.
Even though she's, again, we'll say it one more time, a bad person.
A bad person. You should not want to be in real life Amy Elliott Dunn.
No.
But the way that her kind of like liberation from doing the right fucking thing and being decent makes you feel as a reader is like so exciting to me. Like,
yeah.
So good. So surprising. And I also think that this book does a good job of like, she's objectively like a sociopath. Absolutely. But it does a good job of also being like, Nick's not perfect, but he's obviously better than a sociopath. He has like a sister who's like a very nuanced character. There's a lot of other male and female really like complicated characters in the book. So I think it shows that like it's such a choice by the author to make Amy the way she is. Because it's not like the author can only write extremes.
Exactly. Yeah, I think that's very true. And there's a lot of other women in that novel. Yeah. And I think that's the thing is, it's not about just having women be perfect.
Yeah.
That's not helping anyone.
Yeah.
That's setting a different misogynistic standard.
Exactly.
Like, we need to be able to step into, like, every Shakespearean trope and character that there is.
Yes. And then the quickest word about the movie is just that both Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike are so perfect in it.
Ben Affleck is perfectly cast.
Ben Affleck, it's his literal best work.
I agree, it's his best work.
It's so, there's a scene in the book that they like translate exactly to the movie where he's at a press conference talking about his missing wife, right? Which you always see when women go missing on the news. It's like the husband there, like, you know, we just really want her home, and Amy, if you can hear us, da da da. And then the photographers have him like pose next to this big like picture of her, like, have you seen me, Amy Dunn? And because he's posing in a picture and he's not like thinking about it, he smiles like next to the picture, and it's like this huge news story that blows up, and he's like miserable because he's like, I wasn't even thinking, I just, you smile when you're in a picture, I don't know. And it's just like so thoughtless and perfect. I don't know, I just love that. I love the movie and the book.
I think that's the thing is like that, I love that part of the book too, because it's like in that heightened situation, mm-hmm. only in that heightened situation is a man expected to put any fucking thought into what he's meant to do. That's, do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, men are just like allowed to like go through their whole lives being like, I didn't know that I was supposed to, I don't know, buy coasters. And it's, yeah, just like, I have to know that I'm supposed to have coasters in my house. Why aren't you supposed to fucking know that? Why do I have to do that? Why do I have to know how to act all the time? And men are just allowed to be themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And themselves are bad, usually.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, it's such a good book. I want to read that book again.
I know, me too. And that's,
I only read it the once because of the twist. I remember you had read it, and you gave me your copy. And I was on the T when I got to the twist, and I was texting you like, yo! And you were like, did you get to it?
I remember that.
I was so excited.
And that's why the great part, I'm going to literally spoil the ending right now. The ending is that she like has him, like he's going to prison for her murder. Like she has faked like credit cards that he's overmaxed, totally not true, but she faked it. She faked these diaries. She bled all over her house. Like, he is going to jail for her murder. And he realizes that she's done this kind of all on purpose. So he does one last like news story, and he says like everything he knows that she would want him to be saying about how like he fucked up. He regrets what he did so much by cheating on her. Like, he knows that he's not the man that she deserves, and da 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 da. And she's kind of landed herself in a weird position as she's been like faking her death on the run that she wants to get out of. And she's like, okay, this Nick I'm interested in, like this Nick on this TV show. So she kills the guy that she was with and fakes like that man had kidnapped her and held her captive, and comes home covered in that guy's blood. And is like, Nick, I've been kidnapped. I'm so glad that you're here. And he's like, oh my fucking God. And they have a conversation, like once she's like in the house, where he's basically like, you tried to get me arrested for your murder. Like, you faked this, all this shit. What? Like, fuck you. We're getting divorced. And she's like, no, 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 no. I'm interested in the guy that you were on that news report. You're going to be that guy from now on. Like, you're going to be the one who has to put on a facade every day. Mm-hmm. Or else, basically. And she ends up inseminating herself with his sperm. Yep. So she gets pregnant. And she's like, we're going to have a baby, and you're going to be that guy every single day. Or else I'm going to ruin your life. And you know I can, because I almost did it once, and now I'm pregnant with your kid. So, like, that's just the way it's going to be. And at the end of the book, he just accepts that, like, that's the way it's going to be. And he's going to wear this facade of, like, her perfect man for the rest of his life, because she has him in this position. And it's such a great reversal from the position she felt like she was in, where she had to be his perfect cool girl wife for so many years. And it's, like, so good. It's so good.
It's so satisfying. And awful. It's, like, it's a really good horror
in every way.
Yeah. It's so, 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 so good, though. Oh, my God.
It's a really good book.
Best, most fabulously written character.
Yeah. So, Amy Elliott Dunn, we do not stan, but...
No, we cannot stan, unfortunately. She's a murderer.
Yeah. She's a sociopath. She must be.
Yeah.
But, God, it's a good book. A good, really great character.
Cannot recommend highly enough.
Yeah. So, now I want to reread Gone Girl, frankly.
I want to watch Gone Girl.
Let's watch it. We'll do Lord of the Ring, Gone Girl.
We'll do all three extended editions of Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
Plus, obviously, the bonus footage. And then right after that, we'll do a quick viewing of Gone Girl, starring Ben Affleck and Rosamund Pike. I think they'll complement each other.
Yeah, the energy that we're going to create is just...
I literally feel like that would rip out a wormhole in my living room, because, like, there couldn't be two more different films. Like, they're the most different films that you could possibly find.
No, yeah, they really are.
But two great female characters. Two great characters, period. We'd love it to see it. We love two great protagonists.
Yes. And please tweet at us if you feel like you have a fave that we should really know about.
Please do. I think the other thing is that we both ran a little fast and loose, because we chose people who we felt were the protagonists, but arguably Nick is the protagonist in that book. But it's kind of like
Amy is the antagonist.
Yes, antagonist. But I think the other thing is that, like, I think you chose to go antagonist, and I love that. And then Frodo's obviously the protagonist of Lord of the Rings. But I think the other thing is, like, what I love about her is that she's positioned at the forefront of the book as a protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
But she doesn't really change. She's pretty consistent the whole fucking ride, mm-hmm. and he's the one who's forced to bend around her.
Yeah.
And really, that's what makes a protagonist a protagonist, is that they act upon and are acted upon by the plot line.
Mm-hmm.
But I just love how powerful it is that she's like, I will not be acted upon.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to be softened by you.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to rip you in half until you, like, do exactly what I want. And that, we don't stan her, but we stan that energy, baby.
We stan that energy, absolutely.
Absolutely. I need to read a book. I haven't read a book in so long.
I know. I really want to read. We both have now copies of Lindsay Ellis's new book, Axiom's End.
I know. I really want to read that.
Really good reviews, so I'm going to try to start reading it tonight.
It was on the New York Times bestseller list.
Yes.
Good for our girl.
Good for Lindsay Ellis. We love her. We'll let you guys know when we finish the book. Maybe we'll do a book club.
Yes, I mark my book club.
Yes.
But, all right. We love you guys. Be well out there until we see you next time. And follow us up with us on Twitter at @MHorrifiedPod.
Yes, please do. Be well, you guys. Bye.
I'm Horrified is a Hemlock Creatives production. Recorded and produced by us, Sam Bierstow and Allie Gavin, in Boston, Massachusetts. Our art is by Leah Brilliard and Allie Gavin. You can find us on Twitter at @I'mHorrifiedPod and at @I'mHorrifiedPodcast.com. And you can tell us what horrifies you at I'mHorrifiedPodcast@gmail.com. If you'd like to support us directly on Patreon, you can get our podcast early and ad-free, as well as bonus episodes of our members-only minicast, I'm Thrilled! Check us out at patreon.com/I'mHorrified. And if you liked hanging out with us, tell your friends, share us on your socials, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Thanks for stopping by, Horror Honeys.